Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay and my co-host is Misty Hall, and we're here tonight for the Straight Wives Talk Show, the hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriage between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-host is Misty and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So welcome to our Straight Wives Talk Show. Misty, how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful. I'm actually in the holiday season, and how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. I've overeaten for the holiday season. It's going to have to end early for me by tomorrow.
Okay. Well, your holiday's over tomorrow. How's that?
It's over tonight, my God. You know, it's just a rough season when you don't want to have to eat so much. And I'm just a girl who can't say no to that food, so.
I know. Well, you know, speaking about food, that's one thing that so many holiday traditions surround, you know, is the food, the family, the togetherness. So it's hard to pass up that great stuff.
I know, and many of us find food very comforting, as we all know. So I'm certainly not going to be the one to tell you how to restrain during the holiday time because I haven't found it out myself in nearly 60 years.
Yeah,
but
we won't
do
those
tell people
tonight.
If you do want to call in, if you have any comments or you'd like to join us tonight, our phone number here, take down the number, is area code 646-716-4893, and I'll repeat that. Area code 646-716-4893. And you can call in anonymously. Nobody ever has to know who you are. So feel free to join us if you have any questions or comments. So, Misty, how are you doing this week, all right?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm preparing for the holidays, getting things ready. I've started my baking frenzy, which is a tradition for me. And I'm actually enjoying it thoroughly. We even have some cold weather to make it nicer in Florida because it makes me feel like it's more like Christmas. It's hard to get used to the all the Christmas lights and holiday lights in, you know, 75, 80-degree weather. So the coolness helps bring that about. And I'm just really enjoying myself, my family, my friends, and getting ready to do some volunteer things for other people that are, you know, less fortunate than I am, less fortunate than many people. And that helps me keep the holiday spirit alive as well.
What are you baking, Misty?
Oh, my. Pumpkin. I have made 3 pumpkin rolls today.
Mm-hmm.
And I have started, we call them, and I think most people call them a kolachki, and I think it actually has Jewish roots. It's a type of cookie, but my family, we bake them, we call them kolachi. We don't know where the recipe came from. It's been around as long as any of us can remember, and someone finally wrote it down. So those will be made. What I call wedding cookies will be made. Peanut butter fudge will be made. Date balls will be made. Homemade fruit cake, which is not like the candied fruit. We use real fruit in our fruit cakes. Wow.
Are you doing any butter cookies?
Peanut butter cookies?
No, just butter cookies.
No, we really don't do those.
Oh, okay, because that's the kinds that I'm searching for. I'm going to say, all right, you don't have to send me anything. Fine, Misty. I mean, you know, you could check out the recipe, though, right?
I can check it out.
Thanks, Misty. I appreciate that. That's what friends are for.
And
talking about what friends are for, also tonight we're really going to be focusing on how to get through the holidays because we know that for many of our women, the toughest time of all is getting through the holidays, and especially for women who are either in one of two categories, either newly split up from their gay husbands or women who are hoping that they could be split up from their gay husbands who are still in their marriages because of circumstances. And as I tell women that, you know, you have to first become emotionally free before you can become physically free. And that's really my holiday wish for all of you who need to be free, that you will be free this year. And we know it is a process that, you know, it's very difficult to just walk away from a marriage without having a plan. And for those women who have to sit there making plans, I know that it's really stressful. But we've seen so many wonderful transitions this year by many of our women who, when they look back to a year ago, really felt that there was no hope and that they would be trapped forever. And, you know, they were just living on eggshells every day, crying themselves to sleep at night, totally depressed, and not feeling like there was any hope. And yet, by taking one step forward each day, by getting support, by getting counseling, they were able to take back their lives. And, in fact, you know, one of the things that I wrote about this month in my newsletter that just went out, and I told women that, you know, this really has to be your mantra. Because, you know, you have to keep saying this over and over to yourself. And I think this really helped me get through my life. And just a simple thought that life was never meant to be this complicated. And if your life is that complicated where you have to feel sick every day, feel depressed, feel that, you know, you're living a life that's not yours, that's not what life is supposed to be about. And as simple as it sounds, that life is not supposed to be this complicated, if you keep saying that to yourself every day, you'll be able to really see the true meaning of what this holiday is, a holiday of hope, a holiday of love, a holiday of peace. And if those things are not being covered in your life, then it's really time for you to really think about what you have to do, what steps you have to take to move on. And even if it takes a year or 2 years or 5 years, you can't be, you know, just having hopeless feelings and being stuck in the muck and feeling there is no hope. There's always hope. And Misty and I truly appreciate the beautiful notes that we get. You know, certainly I've gotten a number of them this week telling us how much this radio show means to, you know, the women who are writing to us, because it's a thread of hope to hold on to. You know, Misty, we take it for granted that, you know, people have support when a lot of times they don't, and especially if they live in isolated areas where they can't come forward and talk to people about this. So I think that, you know, for them it's really invaluable hearing us talk each week, talking about issues that relate to them when they can't really talk to anyone else.
Absolutely.
So, and that's why, you know, Misty and I are very big on the support issue, because we've seen the miracles that it does for women. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that, Misty.
Wow. I've recently gotten, oh goodness, I think about 3 letters this week, just this week alone, from different women that I've worked with in the past. And some in the present, and some that want to schedule something in the future. And it's not necessarily that most of these women that I'm speaking of, these 3 I have in mind, that they're isolated. They are seeing therapists in their local area. However, they seek the support that we give through the radio show and through the coaching and through your chats as their lifeline, because it's, they say that's a different level that sometimes their therapist doesn't understand, and that's how they help heal themselves with the gay husband issues. And I'm not bashing therapists, because they love their therapist. Their therapist has helped them in so many ways. But just this week alone, I've gotten like 3 different letters from women that talk about how much it's helped them in terms of understanding that they're not crazy, and most importantly, realizing they're not alone. This happens to so many women. You know, many, many years ago, if I was at a party or, you know, some type of gathering or a particular workplace or something like that I could have been working at, if someone knew I was married to, formerly married to a gay man, they were like, oh, my goodness. But now it seems more like, you know, I hear these stories, you know, over 10 years later, how that someone always knows someone else. So I think people are talking about it a little more, and not that I think it happens more often, but I think that people are more open with it. And now when someone knows, they always know a friend or know a coworker, someone it's happened to. So, you know, it's really grown with what you and I do just by spreading the word of what we do and other people and through, you know, people telling other people, because it's just such a much-needed service. And I knew it was always needed, but I didn't realize how much it was needed and what an impact it makes on someone to realize that they're not alone until, you know, I started doing the live coaching for Straight Wives, and when we started doing the blog radio, it's amazing how many women, not just in our country, all over the world. So, you know, it's great to come together in a program like this and a show to be united for that cause, to be united to help women feel normal, to be united and help promote peace with both partners, you know, just move on, you know, whatever it is you need to do. Live your truth, whatever that may need to be. So it's wonderful. It really is. So that's really been a blessing this year. You know, we've not quite done this show a year, but this year on my Christmas blessing list, this will have to be a blessing that I will write down, doing the show, getting to meet so many different people through the show, through the chat, through the coaching. Some wonderful people.
Yes, and we're hoping once again that this will give you the strength that you need to move ahead in the upcoming year. Some of the issues that do come up at the holiday time, for those of you who are going through this for the first time or those of you who are about to go through it, you know, and it's really difficult, first of all, when you have children. And I know in any case of divorce, whether it's straight gay divorce or just, you know, straight divorce, you know, children always become the issue around the holiday time. And I know that I certainly went through this with my children, you know, who's going to get the children on the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the important thing that I think that people have to realize is, first of all, the holidays is really, you know, for the children, that they really can't be in the battle path of you and your husband, no matter how much that hurts. And I know it really does. And I've read a number of articles on it in the last couple of days because we're going to approach this. And one says, and I think it's really a good point, that Christmas is not a competition. Do not compete with your ex over who can give the most presents. The only one who wins will be the bank that gave you the Visa card. Do not keep your children from seeing their other parent. Allow your children to love both of the parents and be sure that your kids understand this. One way is to help your child make a present for his or her other parent, which I know that when you're suffering yourself, a lot of times it's really hard to be this kind of, you know, forgiving, not forgiving, you don't have to be forgiving, but giving, you know, towards the gay father who may not be in the best shape with you right now. Of course, that doesn't go for the wonderful gay men that are out there and gay fathers. But if you're in the midst of, you know, a divorce or a messy situation where someone is not being, you know, real cooperative with you, it's still the children that you need to, you know, think of first. And, you know, it also says be flexible. The best present you can give your kids is for you and your ex to get along and to adjust to the written agreements to fit your children's needs. Let go of expectations and relax. Keep your promises as much as possible. Show up on time or drop your kids off on time. You know, and these are things I think, once again, they weren't written for straight wives or gay husbands. They were just written for divorce in general. But a lot of times people go through a very, you know, depressing, you know, time during these holidays because they really feel isolated and alone. They want to have their children with them. And yet, you know, their husbands now want to also take the children. And it is a really hard thing to share them, but you can't let the children, of course, be the, you know, losers in the battle between you and your gay husband. So as hard as it is, you know, try to keep it as much of a family holiday for their sake, now, especially if they're younger. Once they're older, then they can make up their own minds. But with younger children, you know, you don't want to have too many more problems coming up at the holiday time. What do you think about that, Misty?
Absolutely. I have, you know, I've got several clients coming to mind that have faced such circumstances that where, you know, a partner has tried to turn it into a tug of war. And, you know, as I remind them, as you just so beautifully said and, you know, reminded people of a few tips to keep during the holiday season, as I told them, you have to remember a child has a different relationship with that parent than you had with them as a husband. And just foster whatever you can, especially if they're a good father, foster that relationship and don't let the children carry the burden of the pain. Don't put them, you know, don't use them as the rope for the tug of war. And of course you're angry. Of course there's things that, you know, when anyone goes through a divorce or separation, I think it's rare that you're going to find a amicable divorce where everyone's 100% happy. Especially this type of divorce. It's just not going to happen because there's so many things going on at, rather than divorce, because usually the straight wife's finding out that, you know, to be quite frank, she married someone that she didn't know who she married. You know, she didn't know the person's you know, true identity or true sexual identity. And possibly the husband didn't know at the time either, you know, just didn't, had not come to terms with it yet. But, you know, don't, you know, take all that into consideration and just don't let your children be the tug of war. Don't see them as the rope pulling one side to another, because no one's going to win that battle, especially your children. And children are precious. So especially, as you just said, Bonnie, if they're young, be careful. Try to work out a plan away from the children, and then, you know, do your best to carry out the plan.
And, you know, I know how hard it is, Misty, because, you know, when my kids were younger, and, you know, I had split up with my husband when they were really young, and came time to the holidays. And when my ex-husband was involved with someone, and I really didn't feel comfortable with my children being around, you know, another man with my ex-husband. And that was just part of the growth process I had to go through. You know, I don't think that women can be expected to feel comfortable right away with the fact that their husbands are involved with other men. I think that's a lot of expectation to put on any woman. And, you know, I've always been very liberal in my thinking and open in my thinking, but seeing it, you know, was another situation. Seeing my ex-husband with another man, you know, it was hard enough for me to accept. And I thought, you know, how am I sending my children away into this situation? And I wasn't comfortable at all with it. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. You know, and I don't think anybody has to be brave about it and feel okay. I mean, when they don't feel okay, that took me a long time to really get past those initial feelings of doubt and feeling like I was sick over it and probably wanting to throw up a lot over it. Because, you know, here it was holiday time and I wanted to be with my family, but instead my family was going, you know, my children with another family, and a family that was really hard for me to accept. You know, it was really hard for me to accept knowing that my ex-husband was with another man when, you know, I wanted him to be with me.
Absolutely.
So I'm never
going to
tell people,
do you think? It's not easy, and that is a wonderful point to bring up. And, you know, and I, through the holiday season last year, I worked with many clients with this particular issue you're speaking about right now. And, you know, sometimes it was resolved. I know of one case that I worked with. The mother talked to the gay father and said, listen, you know, please don't take the children around your partner. I'm okay with, you know, you having your partner, but, you know, the children are not ready for that yet. And she made a very valid point. And I think this is where the ex-husband finally understood. She said, you know, even if it was with a woman right now, the children are not ready to see you with someone else. They've expressed that to me. You know, she wasn't using the children as tug of war. She just expressed this to the father. And he did. He abided by what she said, which was, you know, hats off to that gay father. That's wonderful. But back to what you were saying, Bonnie, it's, you know, oftentimes it's not the case. You know, they are, you know, going to be exposed to that. And that doesn't mean we're homophobic. And it means that we're wishing we were with someone when someone else is. And their life's not there anymore. That life that we dreamed about, that life we hoped for, we're grieving that.
Well, I think there's two different issues here, Misty. I think one is, of course, the grieving issue that all couples, whether they're married to a gay spouse or not, are feeling during a holiday time. Mm-hmm. Then there's the second issue of your spouse being with another partner, whether that's straight or gay, that's going to hurt either way. But then in addition to those two issues, we have that third issue of the partner being gay. Mm-hmm. And especially right after, you know, the first year of, you know, separating, I think it's just a really difficult thing for women to have to see. And, you know, you normally don't have to always see it so upfront and personally, but when it's a holiday time and your children are going to be there, and the fact remains, I understand gay men, they're happy they have a relationship and they don't want to have to be in the closet. And believe me, guys, I do understand this. But it doesn't mean, as Misty was saying, that your children are ready for this. And I think there has to be some sensitivity on how you do things. You know, and it's not, the holiday time just isn't about you. It's about the kids. And that's why I think on both sides people have to realize, for the wives, yes, they do have to, you know, their fathers want to see them, absolutely. For the fathers, if the children want to spend time with you, it doesn't have to be with you and your new boyfriend. You know, especially, you know, in the first year, and especially if it's the first year, you probably haven't been with him that long. You know, just, you know, for the time that you're with the children, let that time be with the children. and, you know, not them having to be confronted with something that might be too hard for them to understand. But this other article I have, it's called Five Ways to Beat the Holiday Divorce Blues, and I think this is pretty good, Misty. I'll read these to you and ask you for your comments. But the first one is to recognize that the holidays might be a hard time and plan ahead. Try to anticipate which events or activities will be hard and plan how to get through them effectively. Don't put yourself in situations that are going to drain your emotional stamina. What do you think about that?
That's so true. That's one of the things I work on with women. Make a plan. Don't assume that you'll just get up and do something. You know, when, like, if you celebrate Christmas Eve or whatever it is you celebrate and you have a tradition, don't just expect that it's going to fall into place and just be wonderful. Trust me, it won't be. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. And that's why I tell women, you know, make a plan. Do something a little bit different. Make a plan. Because if you make a plan and commit yourself, and even better, include a friend or a family member, you verbally commit yourself to with that plan, you're more apt to carry it through. Now, will you be a bit miserable? Probably. But I can guarantee you, you won't be as miserable as if you sat at home and did nothing and felt even more lonely and depressed.
And I also think, I mean, I don't know if you'll agree with this or not, but I don't feel like if this is the time of your life when all this is going on that you need to feel pressured to do anything you don't want to do. So I'll go even one step beyond that. And if you don't feel like being with your family, tell them that you're just not up to it this year. If you don't feel like setting up the Christmas tree, then you don't have to do it. I mean, you have to do what you're comfortable with and stop worrying about what your family's going to think, what your friends are going to think. Right now is the time that you have to do for yourself. And if people truly care about you and they truly love you, then they're going to respect that. You need some space right now. You know, when you go to holiday dinners and you see, you know, the traditional couples there and the family and everybody's laughing, and, you know, some women really feel that they're, you know, imposing on the company by going there, you know, that they're going to make everybody else unhappy. You know, and maybe there's some truth to that. You know, the important thing is for you to be true to yourself. And if you don't feel like joining in the holiday festivities, you don't have to do it. Don't feel obligated because people are making you feel obligated. Do you think so, Missy?
I agree with it. I've worked with women that have pretty much, you know, stated about what you just stated, you know, just a few moments ago. And if they didn't feel comfortable committing themselves to a family plan, they have given themselves and their children or maybe a friend of theirs, a close friend of theirs, they've traveled. You know, traveled out of town. They did something different. And they, you know, they didn't put up the Christmas tree. They didn't do the traditional holiday dinner. And some women to go on a cruise during Christmas. You know, they found a last-minute really good deal. And I said, go for it. Who says you have to be at home? Go for it. Will you be sad? Maybe. But maybe if you're out of your element, it won't be as sad because you're not going to expect certain things, like maybe a family dinner, get together with all the family members. And you're right. Sometimes our situation, meaning, you know, when we have a divorce and go through a divorce and we've married to a gay man and we're a straight wife, sometimes that makes people very uncomfortable. And, you know, if you feel like you're making the family uncomfortable or if you're uncomfortable discussing it, either way, you know, if you can afford it, take a trip out of town. It's not too late. It doesn't have to be far. It can be, you know, whatever it is that you feel like you can do. Just change it up a bit. And, you know, if you take a vacation and lay on the beach for 3 days, you know, if that's what you need to do, that's what you need to do. And I think you really have to listen to yourself and pull something together. And a plan can also be traveling and having an agenda to do nothing, to sleep late, to pamper yourself, to not have obligations.
And I think it's really true. I mean, a lot of people can't afford the travel or they don't want the hassle of travel. But I know for myself, and even though I'm certainly not comparing these two situations whatsoever, but once again, it comes to a matter of when you feel a loss. And I know that 5 years ago on Thanksgiving week, I lost my son, who was 23 years old. And, you know, my son was my life. And I never thought that my life would ever be the same again. And, of course, it never will be. But, you know, for us, Thanksgiving was always our primary you know, once a year family bash. And it was my son's favorite meal, my son's favorite get-together for the family. And for the next 4 years, I was totally unable or willing to celebrate Thanksgiving up until this year where I had a small family get-together. But, you know, and people would say, well, you can't be alone and we're not going to leave you alone. And I said, I want to be left alone. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel there's anything wrong in just needing that space for me to just not dwell on the day. You know, I sat and I watched Law and Order for a 12-hour marathon. And, you know, I just did my own thing, and I didn't need to be around the family. Quite frankly, I really wasn't up to being around the family. You know, I really wasn't up to being around people who were laughing and having a good time when in my heart I just didn't feel that way. And I've learned how to say no, and you have to learn how to say no also. That if something doesn't feel right for you, if you don't want to do it, don't feel obligated to anyone. And you can't say, well, they're going to be mad at me. If they're mad at you because they can't respect, you know, what you're going through right now, then you don't have to care. Think about yourself. This is a time when you have to think about yourself and be selfish. So the next hint the woman, you know, from this article says is create new holiday traditions. And Misty and I talk about this all the time. It says if it's your first time alone during the holidays, you need to create new holiday traditions. The holidays are all about traditions, and if you're no longer with that someone who you share traditions with, you need to create new ones for yourself. And I know you're very strongly in favor of that, right, Misty?
I am. You know what? Even though I'm 10 years out of marriage and I feel like I'm doing wonderful, I still create new holiday traditions. And I keep the ones that I like, that I've experienced, and if I don't really like them, I pass them by and do something new. I'm doing a couple of new things this year for the holidays. One thing is, that's part of my baking blitz. I have, as all of you know, I just got this idea actually last week. I formerly worked for hospice, and I really enjoyed working with the people, certainly not the circumstances they were going through, but, you know, it was a very rewarding job and taught me so much. So one of the things I'm doing to give back, I'm fixing up a whole Christmas platter with homemade goodies, and I'm delivering it to my local hospice house for the patients and families because, you know, they can't be at home. And hopefully that little bit of comfort food will make them feel like they are closer to home. So I'm going to be, called my local hospice house, and they are absolutely delighted that I will do this, and I'm going to be delivering that as soon as the goodies are made. Another thing I'm going to be doing, I am going to go to a local food bank. You know, if you don't have money to give, if you have time to give, these places need this in your community because the economy's been hit hard. So I'm going to be finding out more about what my position is this week. And usually I'm away on holidays. I'm usually not home somewhere based. You know, we travel a lot during the holidays. And this year I thought, you know what? I'm going to be home, so I'm going to find some place I can give up my time, whether it be, you know, where they have me standing serving food, whether they have me fixing up a box, or whether I'm delivering a meal. Those are two new things I'm doing in my community this year, and I can't wait. I'm excited about it.
That's great, Misty, and it's wonderful that sometimes by giving back you feel that, you know, really that's what the holiday is about.
Absolutely.
And in fact, on the fourth tip, I'll skip the third, you know, and go back to it. The fourth tip in this article says, balance your social life and family life. Give yourself permission to spend the holidays in a way that works best for you. You don't need to throw yourself into a whole social malaise. If being around family is uncomfortable, don't feel obligated to spend all day with family, just spend a few hours. And I think that's what we were talking about, you know. Spend, you know, whatever time, if it's, you know, a shorter amount of time or no time, you know, do what makes you feel comfortable this year. You know, there's nothing worse than having to go somewhere and pretend that you're happy when you're not. You know, and this is the time that you have to be thinking about you. And sometimes people have families that are extremely supportive, but sometimes people don't. You know, sometimes families aren't very supportive in these situations. So you have to do what makes you feel comfortable. Another thing,
you know,
it says,
I'm going to add to that, Bonnie, that,
okay, go
you know,
ahead.
There's so many, you know, women that we work with that sometimes their families are not supportive, especially if they don't believe in, their family doesn't believe in divorce, or if their family believes that being gay is a choice, you know, that makes it so hard on the straight walk. And if you experience any of that, and you really feel so deeply that you have to see your family, you know, really consider limiting, what I call limiting your exposure. Go for a brief moment of time, if that will make you feel better. But don't expose yourself to hurtful conversations, things that's going to give you more doubt, things that's going to make you feel bad about yourself and the decisions you've made when you know what your life is from the inside. They only see your life from the outside. They don't know the inner workings of it. So remember to limit your exposure to anything like that. If you can't, if you really can't say no, limit your exposure.
Another tip this article says is try not to overcompensate the absence of one spouse by purchasing a lot of gifts for your kid. A lot of people feel they have to keep the status quo. If there are now two households because of the divorce, money is likely to be tight. There are a lot of things you can do to focus on meaningful times together, such as stringing popcorn and making other holiday decorations. This might be a good opportunity to get back into the values with your kids, and they will likely appreciate it. And I think that's very true, too. I think that, you know, I'm not really in a position to preach about Christmas since I'm Jewish, but, you know, I certainly can preach about Hanukkah. But I think it's pretty much the same concept, that the holidays should be about, you know, what they really were set up for. I know certainly with Christmas, you know, celebrating the birth of Jesus and, you know, words of Jesus and his love and compassion for people. And that's what Jesus was about. He was about love and giving and helping. You know, it's not about going into bankruptcy over a holiday. And I see so many people caught in this trap. You know, not having nothing to do with straight gay marriage, it's just people in general who feel this need to be rushing all over and spending money that they don't have on gifts for people, which most of the time people really, you know, 2 months from now won't even remember what you gave them, or they won't have a use for it. You know, where really the holidays should really be about love and the family and doing things together, spending quality time together. And I think that when my kids were younger, as I'm reading this, stringing popcorn, I mean, my kids would have loved doing that, and we did do it. I mean, you know, we were doing all kinds of things like that because I certainly didn't have money to sit and buy them extravagant presents, but whether it was watching movies together or spending that extra time that we had together, you know, it made such a difference. You know, I just didn't have the money to overcompensate and beat out their father on what kind of gifts I could give them. But it didn't mean that they loved me any less. And I think that, you know, we have to realize that we don't have to keep up with the other parent. We have to just give our children what they really want, which is quality time. What do you think about that, Misty?
I so agree with that. You know, as you say that and brought up this topic, I'm thinking back in my own younger years growing up. I did not come from a home that was divorced. But my parents, they did. I was very, I grew up to where that, you know, we were not poor when I grew up, so we were, you know, the average middle-income household. So, you know, I didn't realize other people didn't have things. You know, when I was growing up and I was very young, I thought everyone lived like my family lived. But, you know, even though we got probably the hottest Christmas item of the year, and my mother probably searched feverishly to get that for us, you know, honestly, I can't remember those gifts. But what I do remember, I remember going to my grandparents' home. I remember my other grandfather that I called Papaw. He would, you know, come up and spend the night with us. It was the time I spent with the people. That's what I remember. I don't remember any of the gifts. It was the things we did together, and I think it's so important. You know, block aside some time and spend. Do something. You know, bake a cake, make some cookies, or just spend time together, rent a movie, whatever. Time is just so precious.
Misty, since you're so much into art, I mean, kids love doing craft stuff. I know I used to buy bead sets, so we would sit and make necklaces for hours, bracelets. And even if we gave them away as gifts and they weren't very fancy or, you know, we're not talented like you, Misty, we still had fun stringing them.
And
they didn't look very professional like your work does, but you know, at least we had little gifts to give people.
You should have seen how I started out, though, my dear. You should have seen how I started out. You know, I remember me and my mom, we made like I said, I can't remember many of the gifts, but I remember we made this, and I'm sure this is going to date me right here. Did you remember the fruit that was made out of, like, sequins and pins, and you would push it through, like, all this different colored stuff, and it was, I don't know, it was probably like in the early 70s, I suppose. We would make ornaments out of it.
Hmm.
It was my favorite thing doing with my mother. You know, I remember that, and we would, you know, maybe give the ornaments away or something, just like you said. It was so fun, just the time we spent together.
Right, and it doesn't take a lot of money. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes my kids and I would sit with a big bag of popsicle sticks and make little jewelry boxes for people, and the
mm-hmm.
kids would, you know, paint them. And it was nothing fancy, but it was just something that we felt, you know, we had a good time doing, and the kids felt they could give away to people. You know, there's so many things that you could just be a little more creative with. And all this, like Misty said, I think it's the best thing you've ever said, Misty. You can look back and you can't remember what any of those gifts were, but you can remember the holidays and who you spent them with.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's so true.
And here
it says, well, you know, so many of our mothers on here have such a difficult time financially. You know, not just our straight wives, but, you know, many single mothers do. And, you know, so don't fret about that so much. You know, figure out how you can spend quality time. Because, you know, in the end, that's what's most important. Yeah, the kid probably wants the hottest toy item of the year. Absolutely. But, you know, in the end, you know, X amount of years later, what are they going to remember? I don't remember any of those hot toys.
And that's so true. Here it says also, be thankful for what you have, not just over Thanksgiving, but throughout the holiday season. Many things have probably changed in your life. But what is there, new or old, for which you are grateful? Focus on developing those relationships and things that you value. And I think that's a really good thing to think about also, because, you know, it's really easy to get, you know, into a depressed state and thinking about what you don't have. But I think more importantly, think about what you do have. If this is your first holiday alone, you know, a lot of times you romanticize or you fantasize about a time that was long ago or about a relationship that you never really had to start with, and you make it into something better than it ever was because, you know, that's what holidays are about. But, you know, I think you have to be grateful for the fact that if you're on your, you know, if it is your first year, that you have peace of mind, that you're not living with the pressures that you were living with in the past, that, you know, the truth of why your marriage was a failure is finally clear to you. So, I mean, even just be grateful that you have an understanding and a peace of mind. That's something worth being thankful for, too, I think.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, and I'm going to insert here just a little bit. That's one of the things I work on with women. Look at what you do have. When you get so down and so out and feel so depressed. And, you know, I'm not telling you to deny those feelings, but you just don't want to get caught in that rut and do that for weeks and months on end. So, you know, make a list. You know me and my list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have like a gratitude journal. When you think of things, write it down. And I mean, I know some therapists, you know, when they work with a client, they say, okay, you have to put 10 things in their day, 10 things you're grateful for a day that you do have. And you know what? One of those things could be that you get up in the morning and you get to take a shower with warm water. Let me tell you, not everyone in this world gets to do that. Not everyone has water clean enough to take a warm shower in that's piped into their home. So, you know, when you just think you don't have something to be grateful for, I think we can all dig deep and find those things to be grateful for. And what happens is, you know, you sort of quit looking at that glass that's half empty, and then you can see things that are half full, meaning you can find a more positive outlook. And, I mean, it worked. It's worked in my life, and it's worked in many of the women's lives that I've worked with. You know, sometimes you have to search really hard to find something good that day. And, you know, sometimes it's just writing down something that you saw that was beautiful that day. Maybe you saw a beautiful butterfly and you love the color of it. It doesn't have to be extravagant. But I think when you take time to count your blessings or count your gratitude, whatever it is you want to call it, that you cultivate it more.
Well, I think also, Missy, that this is a good time, you know, for people of all times of the year. You know, if you're feeling down and you're feeling out, whether it's once again because it's your first holiday on your own or whether it's because of the fact that, you know, you're not quite sure what's going to be in your future. I think the best part about it is to try to make a future plan. And maybe you can talk a little bit about the visualization therapy that you do.
Absolutely. I think you're making reference to the visualization boards.
Yes.
Okay. That's one of my all-time favorite activities to do, and it's very simple. It's very economical if money is an issue. So you can't let this keep you from doing that. And I will encourage you to get pen and paper if you're listening, because it's very simple. Over the course of, you know, maybe a week or so, or however long you have, find old magazines, travel brochures, anything that has pretty printing on it, something that piques your interest, maybe a particular color. It can be anything. Do what I call like a vision board. Some people call them a vision map. Some people call them a treasure map. There's a million different names for it, but it's all the same thing. Basically what you do with this, and I usually refer to it as a vision board. When you sit down, you can get like a poster board. You can get like a canvas board from your local craft store. And you know what, if you don't have that, you can find a large cardboard box and use the blank side of it. So this doesn't have to be fancy.
For those people who don't want to, you know, have a whole board, what do you think about the idea of having like a scrapbook for that too?
Absolutely. Whatever. It's putting that visualization onto paper and putting it somewhere where you can see it. And what you do over this course of time, and another great resource for like magazines is like your local library. Oftentimes they will have a box or a table of discarded magazines. Go pick them up, and when you thumb through these magazines or these travel brochures, if you're in the depths of depression, if you have just found out your husband's gay, or if you're just trying to, you know, get your feet on the ground and you feel pretty fragile, you may not even know what you like, or when you look at a picture, you may not know. So just, you know, thumb through it, and if something, even if it's a color that catches your eye, open it up. Cut it out. It might be a word. It might be the word self-care.
Hope.
Could be the word, you know, anything. Doesn't matter. Cut it out. And start your little collection of pieces of pictures or words. Then you get some type of glue. Excuse me. Doesn't matter what type of glue. You can use a glue stick, like those little bitty glue sticks like preschoolers use and, you know, people use for artwork. Paste it on any type of board, or as Bonnie said, a scrapbook, whatever it may be. It could be maybe somewhere you want to travel to. Possibly you want to travel to Greece, and you see a picture in a travel brochure of, like, the Greek Isles. Put a picture of that in there. Maybe you want to go on a cruise. Put a picture of a cruise ship there. Whatever it is you want to bring into your life, cut out and put on that board. And if you really can't figure out exactly what you want, or you really feel stuck, go through the magazine and just find something really pretty. I remember when I first got divorced, one of the things I kept looking for was ways to redo my home. I wanted to redecorate my home and it feel like mine. I wanted it to feel like my nest. You know, I didn't want it to feel like the marital home. I wanted it to feel like mine. I wanted to put my stamp on it, my style on it, whatever you may want to call it. So what I did, I collected paint samples. I went to like you know, you can go to Lowe's, Home Depot, wherever it is. You know, they have like little paint stick, paint samples out. You can get those. Put those on a vision board. I found a picture of a bed I wanted, possibly the bedspread that I wanted, the colors I wanted to paint the walls, what color pillow. And I did like a whole vision board for my bedroom. So it can be something that simple. Or let's say, here's another way to do it. Let's say a year from now, where do you visualize yourself as being? Where do you want to be? You know, what do you want to be doing with your career, your life, your family relations, and that could mean children or family members, or it could be if you're still in the marriage, maybe possibly divorce. Where do you see yourself in a year? So when you ask yourself that question, then look through like magazines, travel brochures, find things that represent in pictures or in words where you want to be in a year. Cut it out, put it on the board. And the idea of doing this is, it's not that it's magic, but sometimes it sure feels like it. What happens is, You're opening yourself up to possibility. You're opening yourself up to saying, you know what, if I can dream about this, maybe I can be this or do this. And you want to place it somewhere where you can see it at least two or three times a day. And when you look at it, it should bring about some positive thoughts. It should reinforce you. It should help you move forward and visualize that goal of what you're getting to. Because you know what? The in-between time can be pretty rough sometimes, especially if you're in the midst of going through a divorce or if you're just, you know, just recently out of the marriage and just recently, newly, freshly divorced. You know, maybe a year from now you're scared. You don't know what's going to happen. You feel like, you know, you're not, you know, on very steady ground. So what would it make you feel stable and steady? You know, so there's all sorts of ways you can do this vision board. So you really have to ask yourself, what do you need? And when you ask yourself, what do you need, or where do I want to be in a year? Question like that. Find those pictures that represent that. Find those colors that represent that. Paste it on the board. Remember, this board can change. It's not anything set in stone. I oftentimes have a board going that evolves. I will put things on as I think about it. And this is something that I just don't do with clients. This is something I do every year. The new year's coming up. So this is usually something I do at the beginning of every year. I sit down, I map out my year, and I put things on there that will represent that year for me. And it, quite honestly, it's very shocking some of the things that come to be. And sometimes they come to be in the most unexpected ways. But it's just so refreshing to look back over some of those vision boards that I've made. And if you really want to get industrious, you feel really good about what's going on now, and you have a five-year plan, do a five-year one. Where you see yourself in 5 years? Map that out in pictures, images, and visualizations. And it's really neat. I mean, it's really, you can look this up. There's a million, you know, you could Google. You can Google vision boards, and you can find a lot of information on this. Or, you know, you can email me, and I'd be happy to tell you more about it. It's just a really interesting thing. I've had so much great feedback from it. The women that have used it, and one of our Canadian friends that I'm really thinking about, she loves it. She uses it often. So hello to our dear Canadian friend. And they're wonderful. They're fun to do. They're really fun to do.
You know, I think that some of the things you should think about during the holidays also, you know, to try to put yourself in a better frame of mind, is that, number one, buy yourself a present in the next few days for the holidays, something that you really want. You know, I had a friend tonight. She called me. And she said, you know what, Bonnie, she says, I've been looking for an espresso maker for, you know, months and months, she says, because I always want to make, you know, espresso coffee. And she says, and whenever you read the advertisements and you see them, they're, you know, $100, $200. And she said, I don't have that kind of money. And she said, I really wanted one badly. She said, I walked into Kohl's tonight and they were on sale for $25. And she said, I bought myself a present. She said, do you think I should open it now or should I wrap it and put it under the tree? I said, wrap it. Put it under the tree. So on, you know, Christmas Day, you will have a present for yourself, from yourself. And, you know, you don't have to spend a lot of money. You know, take $5 or $10 if your budget's tight. And just buy something you really want, if it's a pair of gloves or a scarf or something that will make you remember you, either for comfort or buy a candle. I mean, I love, you know, Yankee candles, sweet strawberry, you know, when I burn them, I just, you know, smell the air is so sweet. You know, something that may just change your mood for the minute, you know, a bottle of perfume, something for you. But make sure that, you know, this holiday that you buy yourself a gift, because you have to love yourself enough to put yourself first sometimes. You know, you're so busy doing for everybody else. And I think another thing to think about is that I am always in awe of how many of our women are just so talented in one way or another. And I see so much of it, women, you know, who are beautiful artists. And, in fact, one of the members of our support network, she does beautiful work. And I just bought a piece from her for my living room. It's a beautiful bottle. You know, it's a red bottle, and she put all kinds of glitter and strawberries on it. I mean, it's a beautiful, professional-looking bottle. And I thought to myself, I want something nice for my living room. I'm going to buy that for myself and, you know, also to support her artwork. I mean, she does magnificent work, and we have other women who do beautiful paintings, drawings, arts and crafts work. We have women in the group who are wonderful writers. You know, if you're a writer, think about during this holiday time of writing a story. Use your creativity, because I think a lot of times when you're being creative, whether some women have, are wonderful at planting gardens. You know, I've never been able to have anything grow, and I look at other women and they can have beautiful gardens with beautiful flowers and plants and fruits and vegetables, you know, where I just have no luck at that. But even if it's a matter of sitting and playing a computer game, you know, there are all kinds of free stuff on the computer. If you're listening to the show, obviously you have a computer. You know, if you want to watch old shows or just comedies, I always tell women, put on a comedy, you know, something to make you laugh during this time of the year, something to take you out of the mode that you're in, even if it's for a couple of hours to feel better. Any kind of positive, uplifting thing that you do, I think, just can really change your whole mood for the holiday. It doesn't mean that it's going to be wonderful, but it might be better. And that's all you can, you know, ask for. Nobody said you had to have a wonderful holiday or that it's ever going to be, you know, the same that it ever was before. But that doesn't mean it can't become good again. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you can't have good holidays. But if this is your first one or you're not quite there yet, you can still do a lot of things to distract you and not get stuck in that holiday muck, as I call it, you know, and fall into a deep depression over the fact that it's a holiday. The good thing is that it's almost over. I mean, it's almost here. But once it's over, right, Misty?
You're finished for another year for the Christmas Hanukkah season. You're finished for 1 year. Absolutely. So, and you know, something I find, and many of the women, and this goes with so many different, you know, especially with grief issues and straight wife issues,
mm-hmm.
The anticipation of the holidays can sometimes be so much worse than the holiday itself. Just that thinking and fretting of what's going to happen or how you're going to do. And remember, once it's over, it's like it can be such a relief. Just realize it will pass. This holiday season will pass, and people will get out of the holiday spirit, which may make you feel more comfortable. And just remember, it will pass. It's not going to last forever. It will pass.
Right. It's almost over. You know, you just have to get through another few days or another 2 weeks. And then the worst is behind you, and then you can maybe, you know, pick up the pace again. I know a lot of times the holidays just hold people back. And, you know, I myself get into moods sometimes where, you know, I feel the loss. And, you know, not so much for my marriage anymore, but just, you know, losing children, you know, is a hard enough loss. And I see other people with their families and having fun, and I'm thinking, boy, you know, I'm not having that. And it's easy to get caught up in that, you know, sadness. But, you know, I try to pull myself right out of there by keeping busy, busy, busy. People always say to me, what's the secret? How do you do it? And I say, I just keep really busy all the time. You know, when you're really busy, you don't have time to really sit back and think too much. So, I mean, keeping busy is my therapy, you know, and that's how I get through the holidays. I just reach out, you know, when I need support, I call my friends. But otherwise, I just keep busy. And I think busy is really good therapy also. So I don't know how you feel about that.
I think whatever, you know, I think it's wonderful that you know what helps you, you know, and that's what I encourage any person to do. Know what helps you get through a holiday or through a bad time. For you, it's busy. For me, it's, goodness, it's been so long since I've gone through the gay husband thing. It, you know, for me, it was spending time with family. That you know, thinking back now, that was the thing that helped me so much, because during my marriage, my ex really took me away from my family. And, of course, I let it happen. I became so isolated. So, you know, I guess, you know, that was sort of busy for me, because certainly my family kept me busy. You know, they were so happy to see me back. We were busy doing this, this, and this. And, you know, it was, yeah, I think busy works for a lot of different people. It just, I think it's just so important to know what works for you, what helps you get through, and what makes you more comfortable. Because holidays, they can be tough, because you look, you know,
Lose perspective during the holidays. You know, I think it's easy to lose perspective. And for those women who are still, you know, stuck in a marriage because you're not able to get out right now, I mean, one way to really help you through it, you know, to maybe change, you know, your mood that you're in, is you know, sit down and write a list on how your life will be different when your marriage is over. And I think in a way that's like a vision board in itself, where you're able to take a look at that list through the year and look at all the things that are going to change and that are going to be better. You know, that you won't be in the same situation you're in now, without the tension, without fighting, without having to give in to things that you don't want to keep the peace. I mean, you can come up with a whole long list on how your life is going to be better once you escape from where you are or from the situation. And I would like to just say a word also before we close tonight, Misty, that, you know, I have a special message for any of our men who are listening, and we do have some of the most wonderful men who listen to this show, who are really conscionable gay husbands, and they send me notes and they send me letters, and there's some wonderful guys out there, and I really do appreciate your support. You know, this is a time where you really have to think about your ex-wives, you know, and what they're going through, and whatever extra support you can give them during this time is really needed. I mean, if there's ever a time that they do need extra support or emotional support from you, a holiday time is really the time. So if you're not on the best of terms, or even if you're not getting along the best that you can, you know, do something that may be thoughtful, more so than you usually do. Even if you are thoughtful, go that extra mile to let your, you know, ex-wife know or your wife know that, you know, hopefully things will be better, or do something to make her happy or buy her something that makes her feel good. Because, you know, I think now more so than all year round, she really needs more support. Wouldn't you say that, Misty?
Absolutely. I cannot. You said that so well, I don't think I can add words to it.
Well, that's really good. I've usually been able to get to add a few words somewhere. But we would like to wish all of our women who are listening, you know, the happiest of New Year's coming up. You know, we do have a lot of support available, so nobody has to feel like she has to go through this alone. You know, I have my monthly newsletters. The December one just came out this week. If you're not on my newsletter list, all you have to do is write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll be more than happy to send you some past newsletters and the current one and the future ones. We also have our online support chat twice a week, and women who come through that really find it when they're in trouble. It's such a helpful mechanism to meet other women who can understand exactly what they're feeling and exactly, without saying anything, what they're going through. And, you know, if you have a computer, then you're able to hook up to the, you know, to the support chat. Just write to me and I'll be more than happy to get you started with that. Also, Misty has a special, you know, sessions between now and January 1st that you offer to people. Can you talk a little bit about that, Misty?
Absolutely. And I have some spots open still. This is the first time I've ever done this because I know holidays can be so rough. This is, and as you said earlier, holidays are all about giving and helping others. I truly believe that. So this is my gift to the straight wives out there. If you're sort of on the fence about whether or not to try coaching, if you feel like you need it, I really encourage you to try this out, because this will expire December 26th, and it's 50% off all the individual coaching sessions. So you can choose from 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or 60 minutes. You can email me for more information, and that's my name, Misty Lynn Hall, MistyLynnHall, @AOL.com. I'd be happy to put you in somewhere, especially if you're having a rough time for the holidays. I do have spots that are still open. And like Bonnie said, we want to support you through this, because you know what, you can survive this. You may need a little extra support during the holidays, because holidays can be rough. So don't beat yourself up. Reach out for support, whether it be through Bonnie's newsletters, chats, or the coaching. You know, don't be shy on reaching out for support.
And if you're new to our show, you can always go to our archived episodes, you know, and listen to the past ones, because every particular show has a special message. And on some of them, we've had some wonderful guests, and we'll be having some good guests in this upcoming year, you know, who will give you other kinds of support. So we hope that you will keep listening, and we will be having, you know, support throughout the holiday season. And if you just need to reach out, you know, my email address again is bonk@AOL.com, and we'd like to send our love to all the members of our support chat. and all the women who are out there listening to us, and to the wonderful men who also, you know, try to give support to our women. You know, we really appreciate that all year round. And Misty and I will be back again talking to you next Sunday. Is that right, Misty?
Absolutely.
That's right. It may be a holiday at any given time, but we'll still be here for you. So we will send our love to everybody and wish you a peaceful holiday, a hopeful holiday, one with love, love for yourself, one for a better year. And whenever you need our help, we are here for you. So, Misty, I hope you have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you.
And I think
well.
What you're doing is really wonderful, and reaching out to the hospice, you know, people. I think it's just a wonderful thing. And if you have time to check out the butter cookies for your dear friend Bonnie.
I will.
If you are in the baking mode, or I would settle for the sugar cookies or chocolate chip ones. And you can put them right into an envelope and email them and send them to me from the post office, and that would be fine.
That would work.
Even if they reach me in time for the New Year's, that'll be good, too.
That would work as well.
Don't forget to send me that present, Misty. All right, so everybody, we will be talking to you next week, and love to you all.
Absolutely. Good night. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, whatever it is you celebrate, and love to all.
All right, good night.
Good night.